If you missed part of today's show or you'd like to hear previous shows, you can find them on FAIR's website, fair.org. The show is engineered by Kelly Spivey. With me is Steve Rendell. I'm Janine Jackson. Thank you for listening to Counterspin.
It's 6 o'clock, and you are listening to KBOO Portland. Up next, after these few announcements, is Bread and Roses. Stay tuned. Join In Other Words for their 20th birthday party celebration. There'll be food, wine, and raffle baskets. It will be Saturday, October 5th from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Vendetta Restaurant and Bar, 4306 North Williams, located a few blocks from In Other Words. Admission is free, but for 21 and older.
At KBOO, we have a dynamic community of 500 volunteers doing everything from front desk work, janitorial work, community reporting, hosting information booths, clerical support, news writing, documentary making, engineering live music, operating soundboards, working in the music library, and many, many other things. KBOO absolutely depends on volunteers to carry out the work of the station. We are always looking for new volunteers. We have monthly volunteer orientations, which is the first step in getting involved. Contact KBOO Volunteer Coordinator Ani Haynes about the next volunteer orientation at 503-231-8032 extension 231 or at volunteer@kboo.org.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor two talks by Nicole Foss. Wednesday, October 9th, at 7 p.m., she'll speak at the First Congregational Church in Corvallis, 4515 Southwest West Hills Road. And Thursday, October 10th, at 7 p.m., she'll be at Tabor Space on Southeast 55th and Belmont in Portland. Nicole Foss, writer and editor for theautomaticearth.org, is a big-picture thinker and tours the world talking about environmental degradation and how we, as a community, can prepare ourselves and our neighbors for these realities. Nicole devotes a big chunk of her talks to practical suggestions for changes that people can make right now. That's Nicole Foss speaking October 9th at the First Congregational Church in Corvallis and October 10th at Tabor Space in Portland. More information can be found on the right-hand side of kboo.fm under Community Events.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing, bread and roses.
Welcome, welcome to Bread and Roses. We are a feminist collective that has been on the air for 35 years, and I am a proud member. And I'm your host this evening, Della Ray. Our engineer this evening is Chris. This airspace is here to be shared. Whether you are a woman in body or spirit, we will certainly help train and support you. Please reach out to our volunteer coordinator, Ani Haynes. You can also find us, Bread and Roses, on Facebook at KBOO Bread Roses Women's News, or certainly online at kboo.fm/breadandroses. You know, when people ask me, as they often do, about one simple thing they can do to enhance their daily lives, I always throw out one thing, and it is this: to turn on community radio. Think about what community radio does, what it is, and how it serves those that are interested. There's no place that I'd rather be, and I thank you for being here with us as well. I advocate a message, one message, and it's one of self-care, based on the notion that taking care of ourselves all of the time leads to better everything. I write, I lecture, and produce events in support of well-being. And if you'd like to learn more about my work, please visit me online at DellaRae.net. Della is with two L's, DellaRae.net. Well, tonight, we're in for quite the conversation. We're going to be talking about something that I think is really important. It's around men and dating and self-care and divorce. And joining us in the studio this evening is Art Poole.
Hi there.
And Chris Brooks.
Hi, Della.
So I'm really excited about this conversation because I think mostly it's because you guys are just two regular guys who've given up your Friday evening to be in here and share some information and your perspectives about dating. But before we move on, dating and divorce, but before we move on, let's get a little feel for the who you are and what your background is and what you bring to the table. Let's start with you, Art.
All right, thanks. And thank you for having me here. I'm a father of two, was married for 19 and a half years. I've been divorced for about 4.5 years now. I have done a lot of different things over the last 20-something years since leaving college. I was in the military, worked in the managed care industry, spent 4 years working on the stock market, and am now working as a plant manager at a metal recycling company here in town.
Mm, very nice. Thank you, Art, for being here. Chris, what about you?
Well, my name is Chris Brooks. Thank you, Della, for having me on tonight. I am 26 years old. I went to school at the University of Portland here in Portland, Oregon, studied accounting and finance. After college, I was able to get a position with Providence, and over the last 4 years, I've worked in a variety of capacities with them. Now, currently, I'm working in internal auditing for them. On the side, I like to do a little bit of volunteering and then just trying to get out and enjoy life through sports, athletics, and hanging out with friends.
Nice. What a really nice mix that you two will bring to the conversation tonight. I want to just dig in. But I want to start with this question that I always ask because I think it's really important to talk about self-care. I want to know from both of you, and we can start again with you, Art, what does self-care mean to you and how do you practice self-care?
I'm not really sure I have a good definition for it, to be honest. I practice it better at some times than others. There are periods when I know I've just burned the candle too much at both ends and that sort of thing. But I think at the end of the day, it comes down to being true to what you are and what you think. And if you stay true to that, as long as you're able to recognize it, then you're going to be in good shape. I'm not necessarily the best practitioner when it comes to it. But I'm learning and getting better over time.
Chris, what say you?
Self-care. Self-care, I believe, is an ongoing journey that you can, I mean, it's just the story of life. Throughout life, learning how to adapt to whatever situations present you. And it's something that me personally, I've had struggles with in the past, but over the last year, it's something that I have learned a whole lot more about. And I think it's just being true, like Art said, being true to yourself and just being aware of what your current thoughts and feelings are about things and where you are at. And just being able to currently evaluate that and keep yourself the number one priority.
Mm. Does that mean when you say think about where you're at, do you mean about work? Do you mean in your personal life? What does that mean?
I think it's just checking in with yourself. I mean, it can be work and can be your personal life. I mean, work takes up a lot of someone's life, but then you have things going on outside of work that, I mean, your personal life. It's always just making sure that you are doing what is best for yourself. And at times, you may have to make decisions that may not seem the easiest to go through right away, but in the long term, it's something that's going to better you.
What about you, Art?
I think, it's a challenge sometimes to make sure that you're not being run by the shoulds. I should do this. I should do that. Is that necessarily aligned with what I need right now, or is it aligned with, what's most important to me?
Mm-hmm.
If you were to walk into certain rooms in my house, you'd see plenty of opportunities for shoulds that I should have gotten to and should have gotten that cleaned up or should have gotten that picked up. But those, well, obviously, it's not been yet a priority for me. In the past, especially around others, I've had a lot of shoulds, and I'm getting, I've gotten better at recognizing when I'm doing things for others out of a giving place because I really want to, or doing it to try and earn something in return. It's never as satisfying or successful when I'm giving trying to earn. If I'm doing something genuinely out of my heart, whatever I'm doing, whether I get anything back or not, I'm doing it for the right reason. To me, that's a big part of self-care for me.
So how does this relate to work, though, as far as going to work, doing what you do at work, and then coming home? How do you feel work ties into your self-care? Or does it, or is it something you feel like you just need to do to earn the money?
This is part of the, you know, maturation. When I was Chris's age, I was not the same guy I am now. Mm-hmm. I was absolutely driven. I remember my dad laughing one time. He goes, "Oh, you found your inner workaholic." Mm-hmm. That's fine if you're driven and you are enjoying what you're doing. But if you're working at it from a place of I'm not enough and so I have to be perfect in order to measure up, that's not healthy. And I struggled with it for years, trying to, how would I say, you know, I worked myself almost into the ground because, you know, there's always going to be more work to do. Figuring out that my self-esteem or my self-worth was not tied only to my success at work, it took a long time. And once I figured out that that was part of why I was unhappy, I started to retool. But it still gets on me every now and then, and I'll get spun up about things. But keeping that perspective helps me do better. I'm still imperfect at it, but I do better at leaving work at work now.
Mm-hmm. And so would you mind sharing your age with us, Art?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm 47.
47. Right. Chris, where are you at in this journey as far as, you know, at 26, where are you at?
I would say I am just at the beginning, Della. Like I kind of said, over the last year, I've done a lot of soul searching and learned a lot more about myself. Just to give a little bit more of a background, after I graduated college, I was expecting to get a job in public accounting, and the economy wasn't the best, and so things didn't work out the way I was planning on them doing. And so life kind of threw me just a different direction. I wasn't sure exactly what to do, and so I struggled going through that, not knowing exactly what I wanted to do. But then more recently, I finally just realized that I am where I'm at, and I have goals that I'm looking forward and striving for, but at the same time, I got to be happy in my present moment. Otherwise, I'm always looking towards the future. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what's brought me a lot more happiness and peace lately, is just being in the present and being happy with where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. And how do your friends play into this? The friends, your community, the people that you hang out with?
They're important for me. My personal makeup is that I tend to have a small group of folks that I hang out with. I spend a lot of time with the people at work, and I have good relationships with a lot of the folks that I work with. But I tend to orbit in a fairly small solar system when it comes to friends, and I spend a lot of time with them. I try to, I just invest my time in them and enjoy that as much as I can.
Mm-hmm. And Chris, what about you?
I would say friends are one of the most, it's the second most important thing to me besides my family. Being able to have strong friendships that you have someone you can lean on when you're going through tough times, someone that you can confide with whatever fears you may have, whatever worries that you may have. It's a good friendships for me, build a good building block and a good base for me to help continue to have a support system when I am not able to do things necessarily on my own.
Mm. You know, and what's interesting to me is, as we talk about, you know, you individually and who you are as people, what keeps rising to the top is that both of you seem to have a lot of care around your network and about how you feel, which is really great. And this is what I hope to get across to the listeners. And I think it's a big part about when we talk about self-care, because oftentimes we relate it all to women. But it's also a good point to think about men and their own self-care. And I hope by you being here this evening, you encourage other men to talk more and be more present with whatever it is that's going on. What do you guys think about that?
Well, if there's a whole nother conversation. Well, maybe this will be that conversation about, you know, vulnerability mm-hmm. with and men and the gender stereotypes and that sort of thing. I had an extremely challenging conversation at work today, and you know, during that conversation, the gentleman I was talking with, you know, made mention of the fact that, well, you know, his grandfather always told him, "Men don't cry." Mm. That's horrible, horrible advice. But that's been our cultural paradigm for so long. That's not self-care, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. That idea of men not being able to be vulnerable has done tremendous damage to untold numbers of people. And, you know, that's what good friendships, that's what good loving relationships provide each of us, is an opportunity to be around people with whom we can feel safe to be a little vulnerable. The irony is that we're vulnerable whether we admit it or not. Men are oftentimes slow to accept that fact. I certainly was, or to admit it to anywhere else, even though everybody else can see it anyway.
Right. Well, when did you feel like you could start admitting that vulnerability and talk about crying? When did that happen for you?
When I didn't have any choice. Mm. You know, when my marriage got to the point where it just wasn't sustainable anymore, I had gotten into a position at work that, you know, for the first time in my life, I didn't feel good at what I was doing. We had two kids, and God knows I wasn't a gift as a parent. Who knew you couldn't reason with toddlers? You know, so I was watching myself fail at work and watching myself fail as a parent, and things were getting bad. And finally, it was just, okay, you've got to go get your act together, and I had to, you know, I kind of had to bounce off the bottom hard enough to shake loose the I can't be vulnerable because I was, you know, I hit bottom. And when you do that, there's no point in pretending anymore.
Mm. I would agree. Chris, where are you at?
Well, I would say first off that my friends will account to this that I do cry a lot during movies. that is one of my things that I do, especially chick flicks.
Well, they're awesome. Made to make you cry.
Oh, yeah, it works for me for sure. I would say that, I mean, self-care is something hard for men to practice. I mean, it's something hard for me learning how to practice. I think the big thing is, like Art was saying, being able to be vulnerable and just kind of being able to go with the punches. I mean, for me, one of the biggest issues was being able to show people who I truly was and having the confidence with myself that, like, I'm fine with being who I am. Like, if other people don't like me, so be it. But, I mean, there's other fish in the sea. Like, there's other people out there who I'm sure I would be glad to be my friends. And so that's kind of one of the big things, is just being true to who you are. And if you're able to do that and have the awareness that, I mean, you continually need to check in and be aware of what your feelings are about things, that it's just, I mean, it's truly is, you need to be focused on yourself.
For sure. You're listening to Bread and Roses, 90.7 KBOO FM. I'm your host, Della Ray, and in the studio we have Art Poole and Chris Brox discussing what I just believe is such an important issue, men and self-care. And we're going to move on into the dating and divorce, but I really wanted to give Chris and Art the opportunity to express themselves and give you an idea of who it is in the studio sharing their perspectives. And I want to go back to you, Chris, really quickly about, you know, you're 26. So when did you start having, you know, when did you become aware of this piece that is so important about dealing with your emotions and being okay with being emotional?
Like I've said, it's been more recently. Mm-hmm. Over the last year, I've slowly kind of made progress towards that. I'd say the big tipping point was roughly about 2 months ago. A good buddy of mine, we had been having a conversation at a music concert about meditation and just like how much he really enjoyed having meditation as being a part of his life, and that he thought that could be something useful for me to get into to help me with some of the issues I was having to cope with at the time. And so I spent a day with him. He went over some meditation principles with me. And ever since then, like, I just practice at least 5-10 minutes out of every day, just meditating, just trying to relax and just mellow out and just shutting out all the outside things in life and just be completely relaxed. I'd say that was important. And then another thing that my buddy did is he actually told me about this book called The Four Agreements.
Mm-hmm.
That has been one of the most inspirational books to me.
Yes.
This book is all about four different principles, basically, that if you can live your life by these principles, that you can achieve so much happiness and just have so few worries about what's going on.
For sure. So you've read this book within the last couple months?
Yes.
Wow. I've read that book. It's fantastic. But you know what? Can you hold that thought? We're going to go to break. We'll be right back. We're back. You are listening to Bread and Roses, 90.7 KBOO FM. I'm your host, Della Ray, and that was local band and my favorite, which I play all the time, Zinni for short. That number was Sam Walker. In the studio, joining us is Art Poole and Chris Brox. We're talking about self-care and men as it relates to dating and divorce. And we've just been kind of dancing around the edges. We've just been setting up, getting to know both Chris and Art. And when we left for break, Chris was sharing with us about a book that he's read. And it's an amazing book. I've read the book as well. And is it by Don Miguel, I want to say?
Yes.
The Four Agreements. Take it away, Chris. Where were you at with that?
So, I mean, the basis behind the book is, again, these four principles to live your life by. The first is basically being aware that everything that we have come to believe is fact in our life is likely something. I mean, we all end up agreeing on these different agreements. Like every different thought you have about something was an agreement that you made at some point in time, whether that was something that someone's influence caused you to believe that or not. But that's the main point behind it, is that everything is an agreement. From there, there are several points about that it's basically up to us to recognize that there have been all these agreements.
Right on. I mean, I agree. That book is amazing, and I can tell that it's served you well. And we are absolutely taking callers, 503-231-8187. If you want to join this very rich discussion, please feel free to do so. I have a question. You know, we kind of talked about this and then we made a little shift, and I think this is going to help us just move right into the dating piece, gender roles. You know, Art, you talked about that a little bit, and then you talked about, you know, being emotional and being vulnerable. How does that serve you in dating? So as we just think about dating as in your dating relationships, how does that serve you? I mean, what are you thinking?
Well, it's just kind of funny that the first date I went on after my divorce, I was, you know, at a loss for a particular restaurant. So I talked with another guy who was divorced, and it was kind of funny because he gave me this advice, which, you know, the restaurant was fine, but he also said, whatever you do, don't talk about the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, thanks. The restaurant was great. The divorce was probably, well, I mean, I just spent 19 and a half years with someone. If I'm having dinner with a lady who's wanting to get to know me, we're probably going to end up talking a bit about that. To me, it was just about, well, I'm going to show up and be myself and take what comes. That's vulnerability, right? Because if the conversation doesn't go well or whatever, then I've got to, you know, recover from that rejection. But it was just this classic paradigm of, well, don't talk about that bad stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, the bad stuff happened. It why not address it if it's relevant, or you know, talk about other things if that comes up too. But to live in fear of that, no thanks.
You said, I just heard you say that if that conversation goes bad, I have to take that rejection.
Sure.
A bad conversation equals rejection?
Well, what I mean is if... no, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. A bad conversation doesn't mean rejection. But on a first date, if the conversations go south, then you're probably not going to have a second date.
Chris,
especially if it's your first date in 19 years.
Oh, right. I can see that. How do you weigh in on that?
With vulnerability?
And as it relates to you, because you're in a different position. You're out dating. And what does that mean to you as you're out dating and, you know, trying to connect with someone?
It's definitely something that I've had to work on the last few years. I think for me, it is, for me, trust is a big thing. And so, like, the first time I meet someone, if I don't know them that well, I am completely fine being who I am and being true to myself. But at the same time, I mean, what I'm going to reveal about myself, I'm going to reveal in segments. If they ask me a direct question, I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily need to reveal my most inner personal feelings to someone right off the bat.
So it's a little bit more difficult for you to be vulnerable.
To be completely vulnerable right off the bat, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this, I want to put this question on the table then around dating. Then what is it then? Is it a time getting to know someone? Is it then how do you think that comes across for someone who is trying to get to know you? Where does the connection happen if you have two people that might be guarded?
I don't know. I take the exact opposite approach. So,
which is,
it took me a while to figure out that connection that you're talking about was so important to me.
Mm.
But now that I know it is,
mm-hmm.
it's table stakes for any kind of a relationship. So, I'm going to have those conversations from the first date. And if that runs someone off because they're not comfortable with that level of openness, then I'm better off. I absolutely thrive on that. It's the most important thing for me. So,
communication?
Open book would just be a ridiculously understated way to describe me.
Okay.
That. Yeah.
So when did you realize open book and connect this kind of connectedness is so important to you?
Kind of coincident or in the period kind of leading up to and after my divorce.
Mm.
I'd struggled with demons around insecurity for so long and had been closed down for so long that once I finally started to open up, I wanted to make sure I was going to be with someone that would also open up with me and be able to hear me when I needed to talk about things.
Mm-hmm. And so let me ask you this, Chris. Do you feel like then with, you know, you want to wait to get to know someone, which is I think is great. It's a different approach. Where do you think that is coming from for you?
Wanting to wait to get to know someone, kind of easing into it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it'd be just my history. I've been burned a couple times in relationships and by females, and that was something that actually kept me from dating for a few years, was just what happened and the end result of that. And so from those experiences, like, I did learn a lot about myself, and, I mean, it could have just been bad circumstances. I would say... I am comfortable being open about my feeling. Oh, I've become more comfortable being open about my feelings. It's some of my history and just some of my life circumstances I may not be completely open with people right off the bat just because of being burned a few times and backfiring.
You know, Thank you so much for sharing that. That took so much courage because I don't know. I mean, that was huge for you to say that. And that's, I mean, this is what I hope that people can hear, that people, we all have something going on. We all have a backstory, right? And as we're out there being vulnerable, dating and getting into relationships and whatnot, this kind of stuff, these are the kinds of things that we need to be thinking about, right? And then, and I think that, and I want to step outside on a ledge here and say, I think that men may not have gotten a fair shake that they could actually be running emotion. What do you say about that? And that this could be something that is in the way of a bigger life.
Well, yeah, I was not fully alive for a long time because, well, for a lot of reasons, but, you know, part of it is just, well, if I'm going to be fully alive, then I might have to change some things. You know, if I'm really aware of what I want and I don't have that right now, then, well, shoot, I'm going to have to do some things differently. And I'm going to have to probably admit some things about myself that I may not want to admit. That was the biggest struggle for me to before, you know, finally facing the fact that, yeah, I have some stuff I've got to work on, was that, well, if what I'm hearing about me is right, then I'm going to have to look backwards. And there's this huge mountain of stuff that I'm not going to be very proud of if, in fact, that stuff wasn't good. Right. If in, despite my best efforts, I wasn't the man I wanted to be, God, that's a ton of guilt. And I don't want to have to look back and own that. But eventually I did, because the alternative was much worse. What the irony there is that when you do that, you realize, oh, well, that was just me being a knucklehead. And I've got my whole life to live now in a better way. And it isn't this barrier. You're carrying the burden whether you know it or not. Once you turn back and go, okay, this is what that was, and I don't have to be that way anymore. The burden's gone, and you stand up straight, and you're like, wow, I had no idea how bent over I had become.
You are listening to Bread and Roses on KBOO 90.7. In the studio, Art Poole and Chris Brox. I'm just impressed. I'm pleased and happy that you feel comfortable and you're sharing this important information, because I believe once we all can show up and talk about who we really are, it helps other people. So thank you both so much. This is great. I want to just talk a little bit more about the dating experience, and about as you're out dating and connecting with people, and I'm looking for something specific, and I'm not sure if I even have the right question to ask, but I'm going to go for it anyways. As you're out looking for people that you want to connect with, that you want to date, how do you find within yourselves to show up and be authentic with this person that you want to connect with? How do you do that? I mean, I'm thinking, Art, you're going to say it's an automatic for you, but what do you think?
Yeah, it kind of is. Mm-hmm. I just had a friend today tell me about an online dating situation, and she summed it up by saying, if you're gonna say you're 6'1", don't show up and be 5'5". None of us are perfect, and it's not like I'm gonna go and talk at the very first conversation about, okay, well, I've got this flaw and this flaw and this flaw and this flaw. All right, I mean, let's be realistic. But if I want somebody in my life because they like me, I want them to actually meet me. So that's who I'm bringing.
What about you, Chris?
I would say, I think it's something that comes with more experience and practice going through more and more dates. Like I said, I kind of didn't date for a few years there. And so kind of getting back into the dating scene was a little bit nerve-wracking for me. I definitely was, I had a lot of fears about it. But I mean, it was kind of just jumping back in there, and just the more practice I had, and more recently, it's become a lot easier for me to just be relaxed in situations, because, I mean, truly, dating is about getting to know someone else and them getting to know you. And the only way you can really do that, like Art is saying, is being open about who you are and just being comfortable with that. Because if you aren't, then at some point, they may have painted a picture of you that they find out later on is completely different, and then it's not going to work out anyways. Right. So, I mean,
And I think we all tend to, whether it's dating or the other things in our life, we tend to fall into a trap of thinking that, okay, well, this needs to be right because it's what I can see right now. Mm. Forgetting that, you know, the apples fall off that tree every year, not just right now. You know, I don't have to taste them all right now. They're going to be some more next summer. So I think the nerves and that sort of thing that came with dating at first when I got back into it was in some ways related to that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, having gone through the divorce, which was frankly the thing in my life that I was, other than like something really bad happening to my children, that was the thing I was most scared of ever.
Mm.
Having faced that, it helped provide some perspective on, well, okay, this is a date. If it's not great or if the relationship doesn't work out, the world's still going to spin and, you know, life goes on.
Let me back you up. You said that there's apples and they're going to, you know, harvest again and whatnot. Do you mean in respect to how many women you date or that particular woman getting to know her better?
What I mean is that if things don't work out, you know, you have this picture in your head. Okay, I'm going to go meet this person, and it, you know, you're excited about that, and this could be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you go meet, and they're awesome, and then you know, you begin to paint another picture that's, well, this could be even more awesome, and before long, the stakes have been raised, and you're invested, and it's hard to see that. Okay, well, if this is only awesome to a point, and then not as awesome as we need it to be, or, you know, I think she's right for me, but she didn't think I'm right for her, whatever. There's going to be more fish in the sea, whatever the analogy you want to use, and that life will go on, you'll bounce back. You go through that a couple times, and after a while, it's just, well, okay, here we go.
Yeah. So the question of the hour I have, how do you feel about women asking you out? Chris, what do you think about that?
That is a funny question because I was actually just randomly thinking about that recently. I don't see any problem with it. I think there may be some men who have issues with it personally and that there may be a bad stigma about it. But for me, there has been a big change in gender roles in society at this point in time with women not necessarily being the breadwinners of the household and moving up into like having full-time positions just like potentially their husband or mate. And that with that shift that I feel like there's a lot of equality among women and men now at this point in time. And so I don't see why there should be an issue with a woman asking a man out just as a man asking a woman out.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that your answer and you're sticking to it?
That's my answer and I'm sticking to it, Della.
All right. Art?
Big fan.
Big fan of a woman asking you out?
Absolutely.
And you don't see that as an issue? A woman can totally ask you out. Can she open the car door for you too?
She's going to have trouble doing that.
Yeah, that's one thing that's probably a no-no. I have been told by a girl on a date not to open up her door, and I let that one slide, but if that happened again, I'd still open the car door for her.
Yeah, really?
Yes, I would.
So chivalry is not dead.
No.
Why?
Because I mean, to me, it's fun. Like I enjoy being a gentleman, opening up doors for women, paying for meals on the first date or paying for the date, taking charge and having that kind of role. But at the same time, I'd have no problem with a woman at some point asserting herself.
At some point?
It could be right. It can be right off the bat. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of situational, I feel like.
So would you be comfortable, though, with a woman saying, okay, Chris, let's go out Friday at 6 o'clock. You guys go out. And then her really taking the lead in the relationship. How would you feel about that?
I'd say the question is whether she's paying for the first date.
Is it?
No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, it's not something I have been asked out by girls before, mm-hmm. and I had no problem with it. I don't see what the big deal is.
About But would you, the question I have, though, would you be comfortable, though, with a woman continually stepping up to ask you out and do things and, you know, maybe, I'm careful when I use this word, taking the lead in the relationship?
So I think this kind of comes to like alpha and beta personality people that some people have specific traits, whether they want to take charge. I personally myself feel like I'm a combination of being an alpha and a beta. And at times I do want to take the lead and take charge. But at the same time, I also, based on the circumstances, I'm fine kind of sitting back and just going with the flow.
Okay. You know what? You hit something. You went to an area I absolutely want to go to around the alpha and the beta and the dating. But I need to go to a break. We'll be right back.
We can take the long way home. Listen to the low roar of the wheels on the road. Watch the last bits of dusk play through the trees. Those silhouetted husks, breathless in the breeze. Feel the light break up through the boughs. The yearning of the claw, the only sound. Attention turns to you, seated next. Staring out the window, your sunsets are red. Mind turned to the mountains, dressed in red. Door, a glance from the porch that tells me you don't want this anymore. It's a moment in the car, a moment at the door, a glance from the porch that tells me you don't.
We're back. We are listening to Red Bread and Roses here on KBOO 90.7 FM. I'm your host, Della Ray, and that was, of course, my local favorite band, Zinni for short, and that number was Long Way Home. We are in the studio talking to men and talking about men, self-care, and as it relates to dating and divorce. In the studio with us is Art Poole and Chris Brocks. And again, just really excited that we have just two regular guys in here talking about dating, divorce, vulnerability, how they feel. And I'm just really in appreciation of you being here and sharing your feelings so openly. But before we left for break, Chris touched on something that an area I always like to go to, which is about alpha and beta, because we were talking about dating and what that's like if a woman asks a man out. And I put the question on the table, what if it's happening consistently? Chris, you took over with what?
Just basically, I mean, there's the two personalities, the alpha and beta personality type people. And I mean, some women may have that alpha personality where their reaction is to take charge and to take the lead. And so I would see no problem. I would think it would actually be a problem for her to not be true to herself and her to not assert herself. And if she's not a beta personality, I mean, her being passive and not being open about that and being free to express who she is would be a problem.
But how do you feel about an alpha woman or a woman who has no problem expressing herself and will ask for what she wants?
So kind of like I said earlier, I feel like I'm a combination between being an alpha and a beta personality type. And so for me personally, I don't know if I would be able to be able to work with a woman who is solely alpha, where she always had to be in the lead. For me, there would at least have to be some kind of give and take there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Art, you're just over there twitching. What have you got?
I would say that, I don't know, how do I put this in a radio-friendly way? There are a couple ways to look at this. There's alpha, beta, there's polarity. You know, the books that David Deda has written, they are a little flowery for some folks, but he talks about the masculine and feminine energies and the polarity that exists there and different types of relationships where there may be depending on your personality style and who you're going to be better suited with and that sort of thing. I think there's a difference between a woman who is asserting herself. I don't know that that necessarily doesn't mean that she can't also be quite at home with a very feminine energy and still leave plenty of room for a man to express his masculine energy, which is generally going to be more of a leadership or direct setting the direction kind of a role. I think those two can coexist. It requires that the woman at times, you know, be willing to and want to, not just be willing to, but actually want to move and shift back into a feminine role. And I think some guys tend to get threatened by a woman who's very comfortable being assertive or kind of expressing a more masculine energy. And I think that a woman like that is going to tend to need to be around a man who's very comfortable in his own masculine energy, who can allow her to be that way when she needs to be. And then also she has to trust the man in order to then be able to kind of let go of the reins and shift back into the more feminine energy. I think that can coexist, mm-hmm. But only if both people are kind of aware that, all right, well, this is how it works. Mm-hmm. And there are going to be times when one of us is leading and the other's going along for the ride and then vice versa.
Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you say, regardless of whatever this relationship is, if it's a relationship you want to be close with someone, regardless of who it is, father, mother, brother, lover, this is a dynamic that happens, right? Wouldn't you say that? I mean, we are talking about dating and relationships, but mm-hmm. I think it's more universal than we give it credit that, you know, accepting people where they're at and how they feel at that given moment, right? Isn't that part of self-care to say, you know, this person, we're all a mixed bag anyways. Would
sure.
you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think it's a big part of the piece of self-care that we often forget about is that it's more about everybody just meeting people where they're at and also being able to meet yourself where you're at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You have something to add to that, Chris?
Oh, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, to me, true self-care is being comfortable also with other people practicing self-care, because in the end, them living their life the way they need to and what's best for them is the most important thing for them, just like it is for yourself.
For sure.
Yeah.
Indeed. You know, and this is a thing about the radio show, this show being an hour, it's like there's so much we want to get in, but we only have an hour. And I really want to just move ahead to this article that you wrote titled "Giving Yourself the Gift of a Better Future: Two Keys to Thriving After Divorce." And I love this article, and there's so many things that are universal through it. But I want to ask you, why did you write it and what you were thinking about when you wrote it and what the purpose is and what you hope to see happen with this article?
Well, I would first say that I count myself as tremendously blessed. I have an extremely amicable relationship with my ex. We're co-parents. We're still friendly. We work together, you know, well. And I have a lot of friends whose relationships with their exes are not that great. And so I'm reminded of that, how lucky I am. And after hearing some coworkers go through some pretty difficult situations where, you know, frankly, the guys in those relationships were just acting like jerks after the fact or during it and then after the fact. And it's like, guys, will you knock it off, let go, move forward, make something of your own life and quit making everybody else around you miserable? And so part of it was frustration. Part of it also, though, was hope, because you know, there's no one has the zeal of the recently converted. I kind of bounced off the bottom pretty hard, shook loose a lot of the things that were weighing me down. And I know that you can walk out of something that you didn't necessarily want to happen and then still go forward and live a good life. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to, you know, give some hope and hold some people accountable at the same time.
Absolutely. And that's what I say about this article, how you claimed, and you even said this earlier in the interview, how you owned your piece in what happened and that how you said, you know, I was in a really bad place and you were able to own the pieces that you put into it that may not have been necessarily positive.
Yeah, I think, you know, the two keys in this article that I wrote were A, claiming your future, and B, owning your past. But they kind of have to happen in the other order, really. I mean, you're not going to do one without the other. Mm-hmm. And it, throughout it all, is an awareness and an honesty with yourself. I think that you don't look back and you don't fess up to yourself about what you've done wrong. Well, okay, why not? Are you hiding from that shame? Are you afraid to say you're sorry? Okay, that could be a choice, but you're probably going to make the same mistakes again. You're not going to learn, you're not going to grow, and you're not going to be any better.
I want to stop you. I want you to say that again. That was
brilliant. I'm always making this up as I go, but you know, if you don't look back mm-hmm. and you're not honest about that mm-hmm. because you're afraid to say you're sorry, you're afraid to admit that maybe you did some things wrong, the other person's going to know anyway. So it's not like you're hiding anything from mm-hmm. the other person that was watching while this relationship unwound. And you're not going to get better. You're not going to learn from your mistakes. You're not going to feel better. You're not going to let go of the stuff that's still dragging you down. Mm-hmm. And you, if you're still holding on to the past, by denying it or knowing it's there and just refusing to admit it, then you're not going to be able to grab your future with both hands.
Indeed. And that was so well said, Art. Well, there's a piece in this article I'd want to try to hurry up and get in, and it's called Lather, Rinse, Repeat.
And that's, you know, it's kind of related to that idea of the apple tree that I mentioned before. It's a cycle. You know, you're going to go through aha moments, and then you're just going to kind of live your life, and then all of a sudden, the analogy that I've used in other conversations is the lightning bolt, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't really come out of the clear blue sky. It normally comes from all these clouds that you just hadn't noticed, right? They build up, and then zap, and then you go, oh, I get it now. I didn't see those clouds coming. And so we kind of go through periods where we grow, and we learn, and we recognize something about ourselves, and we kind of plateau. But if we practice the awareness, life's going to give us more opportunities to learn. And if we're consciously thinking about it, what did I do in my past? How am I reacting now in a relationship or in my work or my life that might have been influenced by my past or mm-hmm. my past relationships? And is that serving me well right now? Mm-hmm. Am I taking something that was from a different situation with a different person and interpreting a similar behavior based on a lens that no longer applies? Mm-hmm. If you watch for those things and are patient with yourself, over and over, you slowly start to learn, and you can kind of shake some of the bad habits that you may have had that you didn't even recognize. You know, mm-hmm. There have been lots of times I've congratulated myself for being so self-aware, and then later go, oh yeah, I just figured this out too. Oops.
Right, you know? Right. So specifically, can you give us, without, of course, divulging anything you don't want to divulge, but I want the listening audience to be able to hear something concrete and specific. So like, for instance, when you're going through your journey, is there a specific thing you thought, wow, this is something I can stop right now and I can do this by X?
Well, we would probably spend the rest of the time on the show if I had to stop and think about that mm-hmm. one. But I would maybe offer a different example in an exchange with my girlfriend, and I had said something that upset her. And
your current girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yes.
And
okay.
she stopped me, mm-hmm. not rudely, but she stopped me and let me know that she was upset. Well, I'm like, okay, so here comes the cycle of where I'm probably going to be in the doghouse for a while. Mm. That didn't happen. It just kind of stopped right there. But I was leaning in to the punch, expecting, you know, that, all right, well, now we're going to but that's not what happened. Instead, I kind of stopped myself. I didn't get defensive because, you know, I didn't start throwing up the arms or doing the rope-a-dope. And I just was like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I was going about that the wrong way. And she was expecting me to blow up from mm-hmm. her past, mm-hmm. you know, experiences that, you know, if you correct somebody or stop somebody, then they're going to. So we both kind of had this expectation. We were both kind of flinching in advance, mm-hmm. but neither one of us followed through with that. And then mm-hmm. we were like, oh, wow, this is great. We were prepared for this lesson that we'd learned in the past, but we don't have to actually make those choices going forward. So let's not.
Yeah. And again, this is universal. Yes, we're talking about divorce and dating.
But that same thing could have applied at work or anywhere, right?
Right. It's a matter of just stopping and noticing what we're doing and how we're feeling, right? Mm-hmm. And giving ourselves a chance and being kind to ourselves. And this is another thing you point out in your article that I can't find the sentence now, but it talked about how, you know, the best revenge is living well. And I don't hear that as revenge on anyone else per se, but just the best way is just to live well and think of the ways that we can, you know, be present. Chris, I see you nodding your head. You have a point to make?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm just agreeing with you.
That's nice. And I think that if from this article that you wrote, Art, there's so many great pieces in it. I wish we had time to go through all of it. But if you want to add a comment about living well, that would be great.
Yeah, I think, you know, that thing about revenge is the other expression in there is that if whoever sets out for revenge first needs to dig two graves. If you're trying to live well in order to show somebody, look, I'm so good now, then you're really not grabbing your own future with both hands. You're still keeping a weather eye on, is my ex watching?
Yeah.
If you're doing that, you haven't claimed your future for yourself fully yet. And that's going to take away from some of the happiness you deserve.
Abraham Lincoln said, nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. What do you guys think about that? Chris, what do you say to that?
I think that's completely true. I mean, to some extent, I mean, I think adversity is something that is a true test of character, being able to get through the adversity and still making it out on top. But I mean, power is a dangerous thing, and some people who aren't comfortable with themselves and who have just being completely balanced and being in touch with themselves, if they are given too much power, that, I mean, power can get overwhelming and it can become a spiraling cycle downhill and it just can take over.
Winston Churchill says, man will occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of the time he will pick himself up and continue on. Art?
Yeah. There are a lot of times when facing the truth means being uncomfortable with what you just faced. And so we avoid it. We whistle through the dark knowing that there's an issue and we don't really want to deal with it because, God, if I have to deal with this, I don't know what's going to happen. Mm. And, you're going to deal with it one way or the other. So you can kid yourself or you can face it. Mm. But one way or another, you're going to take the lumps.
Mm. I'm speechless. This is so good.
That's probably not good for a radio show.
What's that, being speechless?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, yeah, true enough, right? Well, we're down to that time where we need to start wrapping up. And wow, what a great show. Thank you both so much for being here. But it's time, right? I got the nod from the engineer. It's time. We are Bread and Roses, a feminist collective that has been on the air for 35 years. And it has been my absolute pleasure to be your host this evening. And if nothing else, I want you to walk away knowing that this airspace is here to be shared. And whether you are a woman in body or spirit, we will certainly help train and support you. What I absolutely encourage you to do is reach out to our volunteer coordinator, Ani Haynes. And if you want to connect with Bread and Roses, you can also find us on Facebook at KBOO, Bread and Roses, or Bread Roses Women's News, or online at kboo.fm/Bread and Roses. I thank our guests this evening, Art Poole.
Thank you so much.
And Christopher Brocks.
Thank you for having me on, Della.
And absolutely to Chris for holding us down in the engineer booth and taking such great care of us and giving me the nod that it was time to wrap it up. And I would leave you with this. Dear friends, dear people, now is the time to take the very best care of ourselves, all the time, and everywhere we go. Thank you, and be well.
A life. life with you, kids and a ring. I want all those stupid things. We'll call the first one Zinnia, after the flower. She'll be the kind of kid that likes to talk for hours. We'll call her Zinni for short. She'll be a harebrained child, God knows, with a sword. Her mama run wild in a little blanket fold. Slowly forget English words. And we'll savor every Parisian ray. You know, the kind that pierces clouds on hot summer's days. And I'll kiss your hand and you'll never look away. I want all those stupid things. I want all those stupid things.
The time is 7 o'clock. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Hard Knock Radio is next.
The KBOO Book and Record Sale is back. KBOO's annual book and record sale happens Saturday, September 28th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Not only will there be fabulous books, CDs, and vinyl to grab at ridiculously low prices, but it will also be a madcap fun community event. There will be KBOO DJs spinning live all day and baked goods available for a donation. All proceeds from the day benefits KBOO, your community radio station. It all happens at the Musicians Union.